Revelation chapter 13 today. Revelation chapter 13. Looks like we're all there. We read in this chapter, Revelation 13, verse 16 to 17. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. This is very enigmatic, somewhat puzzling language here that has been interpreted in many different ways by Christians of very different views of Bible prophecy in general. We've talked about preterism, preterists who believe Revelation was fulfilled in the first century A.D., say the mark was fulfilled by an edict of the first century Roman Emperor Nero. On the other hand, Ellen White's Seventh-day Adventists, who allegorize and spiritualize the text in much the same way that the preterists do, but who first began with and then modified the historicist view of Luther and the reformers of the 16th century, they say that this mark of the beast was fulfilled by the Roman Catholic papacy's alleged transference of the Sabbath to Sunday as the so-called mark of the papacy's ecclesiastical authority. Some of the Adventists cite to various quotes of the Catholic Church to say that the Pope moved the Sabbath to Sunday. I say it doesn't matter how many quotes the SDAs can dig up or allege, the Sabbath was never moved by anyone to Sunday. And the Sabbath is for Jews who deny Christ and reject the gospel, and is still on the seventh day of the week. However, the Lord's Day, the day that Christ's New Testament church is called to assemble together, has always been on the first day of the week, the day the Lord Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to the disciples as they were gathered together there in the upper room. Then he appeared another week later to confirm their gathering on the first day of the week. And for those that disagree with that conclusion, I would challenge you to visit our Sabbath or Sunday webpage on our website. And so, obeying the New Testament scriptures and assembling with the church on the first day of the week is not taking the mark of the beast. In this modern age of micro-digital electronic technology, many who rightly take a more literal approach to the passage have said this will be fulfilled via an implantable microchip to be injected under the skin, which I think is much closer to the truth. As far back, actually, as the 1970s and 80s, researchers developed a microchip transponder encased in a small shell of glass the size of a grain of rice that could be injected under the skin, used for ID purposes. Now, however, such technology has progressed to much smaller nanoparticles that can also, but much more easily, be injected into the body, even secretly via a vaccination, by the way. Many sources are now reporting that such technology has been and is being incorporated into the Donald Trump / Bill Gates / Department of Defense COVID-19 vaccine that is being developed for Trump's Operation Warp Speed, which many therefore now believe may either be or perhaps lead to fulfillment of this prophecy. Donald Trump first announced his plan for Operation Warp Speed last May, and then he highlighted it again this past week in his final debate with Joe Biden. That debate, if you watched it, was moderated by NBC's Kristen Welker. It covered six main topics. First and foremost, of course, the COVID-19 crisis, up right up front. Second was national security. Third was the economy. Fourth, immigration policy. Five, racial tensions. And six, climate change. Welker opened the debate with a question for Mr. Trump, after she first summarized the current media narrative regarding an alleged second dangerous wave that they're talking about now of the COVID-19 pandemic. She then asked Trump to say in 2 minutes how he would lead the country during this next stage of the coronavirus crisis. In his response, Trump first repeated the huge lie that he actually used to declare a state of emergency last March, that 2.2 million deaths were expected from this virus. Repeated that lie, after which he talked a bit about recent spikes in Florida, Texas, and Arizona, with surges in other areas that he said would soon be gone. And then he said as follows about the vaccine. Now I want you to hear what Mr. Trump said with his own mouth.
There was a very big spike in Arizona. It's now gone. And there are some spikes and surges in other places. They will soon be gone. We have a vaccine that's coming. It's ready. It's going to be announced within weeks, and it's going to be delivered. We have Operation Warp Speed, which is the military is going to distribute the vaccine. I can tell you from personal experience that I was in the hospital. I had it. And I got better, and I will tell you that I had something that they gave me, a therapeutic, I guess they would call it. Some people could say it was a cure. But I was in for a short period of time, and I got better very fast, or I wouldn't be here tonight. And now they say I'm immune. Whether it's 4 months or a lifetime, nobody's been able to say that, but I'm immune.
Did you all hear that? All right, very good. So that's what he said to start with, to answer the question. A few minutes later, then, Welker asked a follow-up question about both the therapeutic that he just talked about and also the vaccine, which then brought this one-minute exchange.
President Trump, I'd like to follow up with you in your comments. You talked about taking a therapeutic. I assume you're referencing Regeneron. You also said a vaccine will be coming within weeks.
Yes.
Is that a guarantee?
No, it's not a guarantee, but it will be by the end of the year. But I think it has a good chance. There are two companies, I think, within a matter of weeks, and it will be distributed very quickly.
Can you tell us which companies?
Johnson & Johnson is doing very well. Moderna is doing very well. Pfizer is doing very well. And we have numerous others. Then we also have others that we're working on very closely with other countries, in particular Europe.
Let me follow up with you, and because this is new information, you have said a vaccine is coming soon, within weeks now. Your own officials say it could take well into 2021 at the earliest for enough Americans to get vaccinated. And even then, they say the country will be wearing masks and distancing into 2022. Is your timeline realistic?
No, I think my timeline is going to be more accurate. I don't know that they're counting on the military the way I do, but we have our generals lined up, one in particular that's the head of logistics. And this is a very easy distribution for him. He's ready to go as soon as we have the vaccine. And we expect to have 100 million vials. As soon as we have the vaccine, he's ready to go.
Could you hear it? Notice that he said there, I don't know that they're counting on the military the way I do to distribute this vaccine. Now, my first observation here is that Welker's statement, you talked about taking a therapeutic. I assume you're referencing Regeneron. Was very quickly stated, ignored, and swept under the rug by Mr. Trump. And that leads to, this is what he said cured him in the hospital, right? That leads to a couple of very important questions. Donald Trump is 74 years old, in the high-risk category for COVID infection. And the first question I'd have is, if Donald Trump had the virus, with reports saying that he was placed on oxygen before being taken to the Walter Reed Military Hospital, and then Trump made this miraculous two-day recovery with a great stage media fanfare after taking this therapeutic drug, Regeneron, or whatever it may be, then why is Mr. Trump not dedicating Operation Warp Speed to mass producing this therapeutic drug that appears to be a miracle cure instead of what it promises to be a very ominous and harmful vaccine? Why is Mr. Trump, I would ask, calling out the military to administer this harmful vaccine very quickly, as he said, very quickly? Before it's been properly tested, before it can be possibly properly tested. The answer to that two-part question is twofold. The first answer is for the same reason that thousands of doctors and medical professionals the world over have been censored and silenced from speaking out about the effective alternative treatments for this virus. And that is that Operation Warp Speed has little, if anything, to do with protecting the health and welfare of American citizens. It is instead a wholly unconstitutional and illegal military operation that has been in the works for years that will be carried out under Donald Trump's unconstitutional declaration of emergency in order to engage the U.S. military on U.S. soil illegally against the American people and not for their benefit. What's being revealed is becoming obvious that instead of being a health measure, this coming vaccine has everything to do with DNA manipulation and modification, with control, tracking, and monitoring of every citizen, and possibly, according to some reports, even with population reduction goals of the devil's globalist cabal. And that's why it must be administered via a vaccine rather than a much simpler therapeutic drug like Regeneron or hydrochloroquine or some of these other treatments that are emerging. And I submit that the only reason to call out the military to administer a vaccine is if that vaccine is mandatory and the people refuse to take it and resist, which really is obviously expected from a following debate question posed to Joe Biden, in which Welker said that only 40% of Americans say they would agree to take a coronavirus vaccine if it was approved by the government. So that's the first answer to my two-part question. The second answer to the question is, why is Trump doing this? Is not because poor Mr. Trump has his hands tied behind his back with a deep state gun to his head, forcing him to commit this national atrocity against his will, as some fools like YouTube preacher Stephen Bannon and others want us to believe. No half-decent man with any amount of courage at all would sell out and betray an entire nation to this extent, even if his life depended on it. But the reason Donald Trump is so nicely packaging and selling this vaccine to the American public is instead that Mr. Trump is every bit as evil, dangerous, and dedicated to the devil and his globalist cabal as Mr. Biden is, if not much more so. Is this vaccine the mark of the beast in Revelation 13? First, I'm going to provide an overview and review a summarized exposition of the chapter 13 of Revelation. We've looked at this before. I want to look at it just briefly again. Look at these verses in context, and then we'll come back to some emerging revelations about this COVID-19 vaccine and why no one should submit to it, whether it is the mark or not. Keeping the marker in Revelation 13, open also to Daniel chapter 7. Over the past 12 years that I have pastored this church, I've preached many messages dealing with the proper view of Bible prophecy, and a few dealing with this chapter in particular. So much of what I'm going to say today regarding this chapter is for review. As for the proper interpretive approach to the entire book of Revelation, we've talked about this before. We've proven, I believe, beyond any doubt via several messages refuting preterism and historicism, except for the first five chapters of the book, the book of Revelation has primarily future fulfillment. The book was not fulfilled during the first century, as preterists believe. Nor was this chapter 13, fulfilled over many centuries of past history via the ongoing office of the Roman Catholic papacy, as the reformers believed and many of today's historicists continue to hold. For those that are still hoodwinked, by the way, by those deceptions, I would refer you to the topical index on our website sermons page. We have those covered in depth. Beyond establishing that the book has primarily future fulfillment, John says in the opening verse of the book in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto a servant John. He used that word signified there. John says that this revelation as given to him was signified, meaning some of the revelation is given in signs and symbols. However, many of the persons, the entities, numbers, and the objects referred to in the book should be taken literally unless it is clear from the context that figurative or symbolic language is being used. You know, we have the seven churches, we have the throne of God, we have angels, we have saints. 1,000 years of Revelation 24 through 7. These things should be taken literally unless there is very good reason not to do so. Many of the persons, beasts, and objects referred to, however, must be taken as being symbolic. But much of that symbolism comes right out of and is interpreted in parallel Old Testament passages, particularly the Old Testament prophets that refer to many of the same subjects and events, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, and especially the book of Daniel, which very much holds the key to interpreting much of this book, especially chapter 13. Some of the symbols, some of the things are symbolic, and they're somewhat cryptic, and they're not interpreted elsewhere. And sometimes we just cannot be dogmatic as to their interpretation. Many questions that come up about what does this mean have to go unanswered. As far as I'm concerned, I have to say I don't know what that means, but when it comes to pass, we'll know with certainty. There are some things like that in this book. However, since we are told very clearly in the closing verses of the book that we must neither add to nor take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, we need to use extreme caution in approaching this book. Many have very wrongly taken some of the revelation as figurative or symbolic, such as the preterists and historicists, that really should be taken literally, such as the 42 months we see in this chapter, 3.5 years, 1,260 days. A lot of these things should be taken literally, rather than, for instance, the historicists use the day-age theory and say that 1,260 days is actually 1,260 years of the Roman Catholic papacy. So that should be taken literally. On the other hand, though, serious error can also arise when we take things literally that should be taken as figurative or as metaphor. And so we must be very careful in our approach to the revelation. We need to speak where the Bible speaks, and we need to be silent where the Bible is silent, or at least unsure when the Bible is unclear. In this chapter, Revelation 13, we see two separate entities that John describes as beasts. Revelation 13, verse 1, John writes, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority." The dragon, by the way, is Satan the devil. Verse 3, "And I saw one of his heads." He had 7 heads. "One of his heads, as if it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast." Here, we can actually be rather dogmatic as to what this beast is, since John is here using precisely the same language that is interpreted for us in Daniel chapter 7, where we see from the angelic interpretation that Daniel is given in verse 17 and verse 23 of Daniel 7, which you should have open, that the word beast in this context is used symbolically of kingdoms, political systems, or empires that shall arise out of the earth. Verse 17 of Daniel 7. Daniel is given here in this chapter a vision of 4 such kingdoms or empires, saying that the first beast in verse 4, he had a vision of 4 beasts. And he says the first beast in verse 4 was like a lion, which we know from the context here and in chapters 2 and chapter 8 of Daniel describes the Babylonian Empire. This lion kingdom or this lion beast is a symbolic of the Babylonian Empire. Daniel says the second beast in verse 5 was like unto a bear, which symbolizes the Medo-Persian Empire that then conquered Babylon. We get that clearly from chapter 8. The third beast is then said in verse 6 to be like a leopard, which is symbolic of the Macedonian Empire of Alexander the Great. That beast has 4 heads, which symbolize Alexander's 4 generals, to which Alexander's empire was divided when he suddenly died at a very young age, depressed because he had no more worlds to conquer, Alexander the Great. And then we see the fourth beast in verse 7. Daniel 7 and verse 7. "After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue, or the rest of them, with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." We read on in this chapter, and we see that this fourth empire continues in power through the ages, right up to the time that the Lord Jesus establishes his millennial kingdom on the earth, which takes it into the book of Revelation, may I say. John, the apostle, describes this very same beast as his first beast in Revelation 13, 1-2, giving us some additional revelation about it. Back to Revelation 13. John here describes that same fourth beast that Daniel saw. John says it has 7 heads and 10 horns. We saw 10 horns in Daniel 7. "Upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." He says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion." Well, those first 3 kingdoms we saw in Daniel 7. This description clearly refers to Daniel's vision in Daniel 7, references back that ties those chapters together, and confirms that this empire is actually one and the same as the fourth beast in Revelation 7. The first beast, Revelation 13, is the fourth beast in Daniel 7. And also, we see here from John's description that the fourth beast is actually a conglomeration or an amalgamation of the first three that went before it, incorporating aspects and territories of all three, the lion, the bear, and the leopard. And so then we read, and the dragon, Satan the devil, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So this is a thoroughly satanic empire. It is one and the same as the Roman Empire, which conquered all the territories once held by Alexander the Great, and then some, and that then in about the 5th century A.D., became the Holy Roman Empire, so-called Holy Roman Empire, with the Pope of Rome, in effect, given ecclesiastical authority over the kings of the earth within its realm and the kings of Europe for a time, actually for several centuries, which is why John sees another vision of this same beast in Revelation 17. We see the same beast in Revelation 17, where there we see this beast pictured with a woman riding the beast. And that woman riding that beast, holding its reins, actually, called the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, symbolizes the harlotress system of counterfeit Christianity known as the Roman Catholic Papacy. We've covered that in former messages. I'm not going to take time today to defend that. Anyone who questions that, I'll refer you to a few messages on that. John then says in chapter 13, verse 3, that he saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. This isn't the person of the Antichrist getting shot in the head. This one head, I believe, being the Roman Catholic Papacy, who assumed the religious title Pontifex Maximus from the Caesars that went before him, who I see as the other six heads on this beast, the Roman Empire. I personally believe that this fatal head wound here refers to the papacy, having lost, at the time of the Protestant Reformation, the earthly ecclesiastical power that it formerly held over the kings of the earth. Remember, this is a system. This is an empire. This is a political system. And when, during the Protestant Reformation, the papacy lost the power it had held over the kings of the earth, and they rebelled against the papacy. And so actually that's why the Jesuits were formed, to return the kingdoms of this earth to the papacy. That's what the Jesuits, that's what they set out to do. So it lost that power then at the Reformation, but having since that time regained global popularity, prestige, and great political influence among the nations of the earth, especially in America, where we just confirmed, the Senate just confirmed one more Roman Catholic justice to the Supreme Court. Now we've got seven Roman Catholics to two Jews, where it was 6-3. So this beast of Revelation 13 is in fact the revived Roman Empire that in the last days becomes a global empire, which now has been rebuilt, I believe, through Rome's proxy vassal state, the USA. And this beast has had seven heads throughout the course of its existence. But then it also has 10 horns. And these 10 horns, they receive authority to reign with the beast for just a short time. Over in Revelation 17, we see in verse 12 of Revelation 17 that those 10 horns on that beast, the angel says, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet." Oh, you're here, page is turning. Revelation 17, verse 12. I'm going kind of fast here. Revelation 12, 17, talking about these 10 kings. "The 10 horns which thou saw are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." Short time there. "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." So those 10 kings are also one as the same as the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's image in Daniel chapter 2. That stone comes down from heaven and smites that image in its feet and breaks all those kingdoms asunder. And those 10 toes on that image also represent these 10 kings here as well. They have authority for just 1 hour. Given authority for just a very brief time, John says 1 hour, signifying a relatively short segment of human history. And at that particular time, then they make war against the Lord Jesus just prior to his return. And I believe that these 10 kings represent 10 political subdivisions in a last days global revived Roman Empire, such as the 10 global regions. They're called kingdoms by the Club of Rome that Club of Rome has divided the entire world into these 10 regions. So that is the identification of this first beast. Continuing then in verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And it was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. Which is, by the way, just as we read in Daniel 7, verse 8, of that little horn. And a phrase, this is also used in, that, by the way, is also used in Daniel 8, verse 9. Used in both places, referring to the political head of this empire, that being the Antichrist, the man of sin, son of perdition, Paul references in 2 Thessalonians. So that little horn there, this mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, is the Antichrist. We see that in Daniel 7, 8 also. And John says then, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. It doesn't say 1,260 years. It says 42 months. And so the historicists are on it. That should be taken literally. He's going to reign for 3.5 years, actually, which is the second half of Daniel's 70th week. We've been all through that. Separate message. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and him that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. We read that in Daniel 7 as well. And power is given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. He's going to rule the world for a time, for 42 months. This is why they have to build this global government. That's why Satan's cabal and his people, his devotees, have worked for centuries to build this global government. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. John then says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Kind of what Jesus said. If you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints, which means we're not supposed to live by the sword, may I say. Then John describes the second beast, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he held two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. That two horns like a lamb, speaking as a dragon, he's a false Christian. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Remember, that's the political system. This deadly wound was healed, this regained his political power. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. I have to say that as to this image of the beast, I have no idea at this time what this image is or how this detail will be fulfilled. I called Brother Jay yesterday. He couldn't help me a bit, right? I'm not sure if this image of the beast will have literal fulfillment or if this is symbolic language like the language that precedes it. I remind us, however, that the beast in this passage does not symbolize a person. It represents a global empire, as we've seen, the New World Order, the global government of the Antichrist, which is why, by the way, we see this alleged pandemic for which this vaccine is being created is a global issue being orchestrated through the UN and the World Health Organization. And so this image of the beast may be no more than a flag or a symbol of the state, of the empire. For now, we just have to conclude that this is one of those details that we just won't understand until it's fulfilled. However, we do know that fulfillment of this verse must include some form of worship. Must include some form of worship, which I'm going to come back to. We then read in verse 16, and he causeth all, he, that second beast, by the way, causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So we see in this chapter two beasts that work together to dominate and control the planet. The first beast is both political and military. We see especially in Daniel chapter 11. And I do have said before, if this prophecy is to be fulfilled within the foreseeable future, in our lifetime, I believe this can be none other than the American Empire, as it will be led by that man of sin. The second beast here, having two horns like a lamb, but speaking as a dragon, represents a global religious empire, and at the same time also represents that man that will be controlled of that empire, also known as the false prophet that we see in Revelation 16, 19, and 20, of the false prophet. When Jesus comes to read in Revelation 19, he's going to take the beast and the false prophet and cast them in the lake of fire. We've identified the second beast as the papacy of Rome, with its hierarchical system of governance through cardinals and bishops, and its global religious empire of over 2 billion devoted Roman Catholic Church members, scattered and located in every nation on the planet. We've shown how that religious empire dominates American politics through its Jesuit order, its military arm. So just as is depicted here in Revelation 13 and also 17, these two entities, the Roman papacy and the Roman / American empire, work together to dominate and control the planet, which we see happening. That's why America's always fighting all these wars over there. It's none of our business. We also see that it is the second beast that is instrumental in imposing the mark of the beast on the planet. And I have to say that we don't yet see that particular detail being fulfilled on a global scale as far as being implemented or pushed by the papacy. What we do see in this passage is that this mark, whatever it is or becomes, will be the means, mechanism, and method of implementing a global economic system. We see that clearly here in this passage. Indeed, we see that the very purpose of this mark is to exert total economic control over the entire earth, over every man, woman, and child therein. And so in that respect, based on the wording of verses 16 to 17, I believe we can dogmatically say that these verses must have a direct literal fulfillment. It has to function in this manner. However this mark is implemented, it must be the means of monitoring every commercial transaction involved in buying and selling of every person on earth. And as stated, the devil's crowd has been working for decades to implement this system, centuries in fact. But it does appear that long last, I believe the technology is in existence to implement this, to fulfill this prophecy. We know there exists a globally integrated electronic system that has been built to enforce such total control, global banking system, facial recognition cameras everywhere we go, and now the microscopic technology that's being incorporated into this coming vaccine that is able to monitor and track all who receive this vaccine. I'm going to get into that. I mentioned last March that this global pandemic would result in implementation of the mark. I mentioned then that Bill Gates is on record as having said that people will soon receive a digital certificate branded into their skin to show that they've been vaccinated. Bill Gates said that a national tracking system is on its way and that such technology is nothing more than an upgrade on traditional cattle branding, says Bill Gates. An upgrade on traditional cattle branding. I also mentioned that this entire pandemic panic is following almost lockstep with the scripted pandemic simulation titled Event 201 that was conducted over a year ago now, in October of last year, by the Gates Foundation in concert with the World Health Organization. So Bill Gates is at the center of producing this vaccine. Since then, much information has surfaced about the vaccine that is being developed, from patents that have been applied for and from apparent leaks from whistleblowers that inside the system that shows this vaccine will be able to do all these things and more, monitoring the populace. I'm going to give you a list of characteristics and facts about the vaccine. And when I post this message online, I'll also post a PDF with links to these sources. One of which is a video that was titled Warning for Humanity, featuring a Dr. Carrie Madej, I guess is how you pronounce her name. Dr. Carrie Madej. And she's an internal medicine specialist from McDonough, Georgia. And she sees what's going on here, and so she put this video out with another group of people. But Dr. Madej says in this video that the technology being used for this vaccine has never, ever been used before in a vaccine. First of all, this vaccine will be using a modified RNA or modified DNA using a process of what they call transfection, which is the same process that they use to create genetically modified plants and fruits, which also produces typically much less healthy fruits and plants as wild. She says that this could potentially alter the DNA or the genome of every person that is injected with it. She says just a small change in DNA can cause congenital defects and hereditary disorders or mutations, and they're doing this, injecting modified DNA into your body that can change your DNA, they're saying. She said this is the first time such technology has been used in humans, that using this DNA testing, safety testing, should take years of research. The way it can cause genetic defects and things like this should take years of research with no way to reduce that time frame safely. And we heard from the horse's mouth it's planned to be done quickly and on a large scale, as Mr. Trump says. Quickly, we're going to do it quickly. And the front-runner candidate for this vaccine, as Trump confirmed in the debate there, is coming from a pharmaceutical company named Moderna. Moderna, which is coincidentally the company that the man who Trump placed at the head of Operation Warp Speed, who is a Muslim doctor and a vaccine creator named Dr. Moncef Slaoui. Muslim Dr. Moncef Slaoui. He's heavily invested in this company. This company, Moderna, actually just received $1 billion for research to develop this vaccine. $1 billion just for research and development. And that was, of course, backed by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. This company, Moderna, is a new company, has never developed a vaccine or medical drug for use in humans. They are dangerously fast-tracking this thing. And in their phase two testing of this vaccine, they used 45 human subjects. 100% of the high-dose recipients in this 45-person group did demonstrate systemic side effects, she says. And the low-dose group, 80%, developed systemic side effects. They have no idea about long-term side effects because there's no time to test long-term side effects. They can't test them. It usually takes years to test and approve a vaccine. They're not doing that now. One proposed delivery system for the vaccine uses a bandage, a little square bandage called a microneedle. It's got a bunch of little microneedles in it. I'll give you a link to this video. You need to watch the video. It's called the microneedle platform. It has tiny microneedles, each one designed like snake fangs to inject the vaccine, which in Moderna's case, the vaccine contains the modified DNA or RNA, along with a patented enzyme that they are calling luciferase. Lucifer with ace on the end, A-C-E. Luciferase, what they're calling it. So named because it gives off a luminescence when you scan it with an electronic device. So it displays a barcode or a personal ID. Of course, fulfilling Gates' statement, that will be branded like cattle. And that will be digital proof, actually, that the recipient has been vaccinated. It contains modified DNA that could potentially alter the human genome. You're branded with an electronic luciferase ID. And then also, all of these things are conveyed via what they're calling a hydrogel. Hydrogel is a technology that was invented by DARPA, which is the Department of Advanced Research Project Agency, which is a Department of Defense agency at the Pentagon. Hydrogel is an injectable liquid that goes under the skin. It will not be rejected by the body. And it contains nanoparticles. They call them nanoparticles, which are microscopic robotic organisms that can circulate through the body. They can assemble, disassemble, gather information, and monitor body functions and all body movements. Everything that you do can be monitored with this system. And then they can collect data 24/7, every day, every hour, every minute. And then that data can be conveyed to a smartphone, which connects each vaccine recipient to artificial intelligence. And could, they're saying, be used to program body functions. One question is, who is monitoring and controlling all this data collection? The beast, that's who. So that's a brief summary from the first 12 minutes of a 44-minute video that all of you should watch, which also details Bill Gates' involvement in all this and how many doctors are being silenced from speaking out against this vaccine. I'll send you a link to that video. I also want to quote from another source as well, confirming what Dr. Medej presented in her video. This being an article posted last week by Derek Brose, titled, quote, "The head of Operation Warp Speed and the Gates Foundation are pushing bioelectronics and vaccine patches." It starts, "To understand the goals of Operation Warp Speed, we must understand Dr. Moncef Slaoui and his connections to Big Pharma and the Gates Foundation. In mid-May, Donald Trump announced he was appointing Dr. Moncef Slaoui, a former executive with vaccine manufacturer GlaxoSmithKline, to lead Operation Warp Speed, a public-private partnership launched by the Trump administration to rapidly develop and distribute a COVID-19 vaccine. Dr. Slaoui was professor of immunology at the University of Mons in Belgium. Following his education, Slaoui joined the pharmaceutical industry, serving on the board of directors of GlaxoSmithKline between 2006 and 2015. Slaoui then served in several senior research and development roles with GlaxoSmithKline during his time with the company, including chairman of Global Vaccines, by the way. More recently, Slaoui sits on the boards of several pharmaceutical companies and biotech organizations, etc. And then after detailing Slaoui's extensive financial conflicts of interest and profiteering through these companies to make this vaccine, the article then continues, "Bioelectronics and pharmacovigilance. Pharmacovigilance. The criticisms about Slaoui's involvement in Operation Warp Speed go well beyond financial conflicts of interest. One other area of concern is the fact that several of the companies connected to Slaoui are involved in the emerging field of bioelectronics. Slaoui is currently a partner at Medici X Investment Firm, a chairman of the board at Galvani Bioelectronics, chairman of the board at Sutrovax, and sits on the boards of Artisan Biosciences, Human Vaccines Project, and the aforementioned Moderna Therapeutics. Galvani Bioelectronics was formed out of an agreement with Verify Life Sciences, LLC. The goal is to enable the research, development, and commercialization of bioelectronic medicines. Bioelectronic medicine is a relatively new research field focused on tackling chronic diseases by using miniaturized, implantable devices that can modify electric signals that pass along nerves in the body, including irregular or altered impulses that occur in many illnesses. GSK, its company here, has been active in this field since 2012 and has stated that chronic conditions such as arthritis, diabetes, and asthma could potentially be treated using these devices, these nanoparticles. GSK called the partnership an important step in the research of bioelectronics, stating that if they are successful using advances in biology and technology to correct their irregular patterns found in disease states, using miniaturized devices attached to individual nerves. Miniaturized devices attached to individual nerves. This method would be a new therapeutic modality alongside traditional medicines and vaccines. So Galvani's plan to use miniature implantable devices was described by the MIT Technology Review as, quote, "hacking the nervous system." Hacking the nervous system. In 2016, Slaoui said, "We hope to have approval and can be in the marketplace in the next 7 to 10 years. It's not science fiction and it's progressing quite well." So their implantable devices feed into public fears regarding the potential for COVID-19 vaccines to involve some sort of tracking mechanism, which allows authorities to monitor the vital signs and location of patients. So this confirmed what the other video talked about. Slaoui recently stated that the U.S. government will partner with Google and Oracle. Listen to this. Slaoui recently stated that the U.S. government will partner with Google and Oracle to monitor vaccine recipients for up to 2 years. How do they do that? Through these nanoparticles. Google and Oracle. "These incredibly precise tracking systems," he said, "will ensure that patients each get 2 doses of the same vaccine and to monitor them for adverse health effects." Webb also noted that a New York Times interview with Slaoui referred to the tracking system as "very active pharmacovigilance surveillance system." Pharmacovigilance. So they're using these things for tracking, for surveillance. These things can monitor where you go and what you do, what you're doing every minute of the day, whatever you're doing. You're sick, you're sleeping, whatever you're doing. You can use your imagination. This then goes on to the Gates Foundation nanopatch. Bill Gates also has a history of funding Vaxis, a biotech firm focused on developing a vaccine patch that could eventually deliver a COVID-19 vaccine. On October 5th, the U.S. Department of Health, Human Services, Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, BARDA, awarded Vaxis $22 million to conduct phase one studies using their high-density microarray patch. High-density microarray patch, parenthesis HDMAP, to deliver a pandemic influenza vaccine to more than 400 people. The press release announced that the deal noted that Vaxis has developed a compact manufacturing system aimed at delivering more than 250 million doses per year. Vaxis is actively investigating opportunities to improve performance of other pandemic vaccines, etc. The Vaxis nanopatch includes a 9 by 9 millimeter array of thousands of very short projections, microneedles, of around 250 microns in length. These microneedles. These projections are coated with vaccine and reportedly deliver vaccines more efficiently than a needle and syringe. The patch comes in a hockey puck shaped applicator that is pressed onto the skin to deliver the vaccine. That's how they do it. I suppose you could put it on your right hand or forehead. This is a Bill Gates organization. By the way, Bill Gates knows nothing about pharmaceuticals, about chemistry. Nanopatch is based on technology originally developed by Professor Mark Kendall's research group at the Australian Institute of Bioengineering and Nanotechnology at the University of Queensland. Professor Kendall is also the CEO of Wear Optimo, a company which markets micro-wearable devices. Kendall is also listed as an agenda contributor with the World Economic Forum, the international organization behind the promotion of the Great Reset. You've perhaps heard of the Great Reset. It's just another term for the New World Order. The WEF, World Economic Forum site, notes that Kendall contributed to Biolistics Technology, a specific set of gene editing, sometimes known as gene gun, or a biolistic particle delivery system to deliver DNA vaccines, modified DNA. Kendall's vaccine delivery system fires microparticulate vaccines into the skin at 1,500 miles per hour. 1,500 miles per hour. While the U.S. government, military, and pharmaceutical companies collaborate on a rushed COVID-19 vaccine, more Americans are beginning to question the safety and purpose of Operation Warp Speed. What's the purpose of this? This is not for human health. This is not for health. In the last 9 months, it has become clear that nearly every aspect of OWS, Operation Warp Speed, and the fight against COVID-19 in general involves financing from the Gates Foundation. The biotech and pharmaceutical companies working with the Gates Foundation are increasingly focused on the promotion of biosensors and patches, wearable technology, and implantables. When President Trump first announced the appointment of Dr. Moncef Slaoui, he also promised Americans that the first 100 million doses of the vaccine would arrive in October, followed by hundreds of millions more doses in December and January. How did he know that? As the deadline quickly approaches, Americans are left wondering if the influence of Big Pharma and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is a sign that they should join the growing chorus of people who say they will not voluntarily sign up for a COVID-19 vaccine. So this is a vaccine that Donald Trump and company are preparing for the American populace and probably, in fact, for the entire world. And unfortunately, from Donald Trump's statements in the debate last week, Donald Trump is not one of those growing number of Americans that question the safety and purpose of Operation Warp Speed. In fact, he seems to have no concern about that at all. He's out here promoting it and saying how great it's going to be and how he's going to use his generals to get it out very quickly. So is this vaccine the mark of the beast? We read in Revelation 13, verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the number of the beast, or the number of his name. Is this vaccine the mark of the beast? First, I'd say whether it is or not, simply because of the unknown dangers this thing poses to our health, to the human body's DNA and the nervous system. It should be rejected outright and refused by all. But beyond that, I would conclude that to the extent this vaccine or any like it that includes these elements of marking or branding, as Bill Gates put it, for purposes of positive identification, if it is mandatory and required of all citizens for admittance into public places, for conducting commerce, in other words, for buying and selling or to travel, that will without question constitute fulfillment of this passage and implementation of the mark of the beast. However, you may ask, doesn't receiving the mark have to be combined with an act of worship of the image of the beast? To which I'd answer, that worshiping an image of the beast does not necessarily mean performing an outward ritual like bowing down before an idol or burning a stick of incense while chanting Caesar is Lord. As thousands of first century Christians, by the way, were rounded up and martyred for refusing to do. We need to remember that James 4 verse 12 says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Isaiah 33 verse 22 says, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. As Christians, the Bible is to be our law book. Only our God is worthy of absolute, unlimited obedience. However, most people on this planet have rejected the Lord's rule and they've made the state their lawgiver instead. And in so doing, they have actually made the state their God. And submission to the state's wicked laws that contravene God's word does no less than acknowledge the state as a higher authority than God. And that alone is an act of worship. That alone is an act of worship. In other words, simply accepting the mark of the beast is by itself an act of worship. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, Paul says. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our body belongs to the Lord Jesus. He purchased us with his own blood. And for a Christian to allow himself to be branded like cattle, as Bill Gates puts it, is a violation of that very important principle. It is an acknowledgement of ownership, that the recipient is the property of the state rather than the purchased possession of the Lord Jesus. And that, too, is an act of worship. Personally, I see pledging allegiance to the flag as an act of worship. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, and only Jesus deserves our unlimited allegiance. As I've said before, a pledge or an oath by government officials to uphold and defend the Constitution is one thing, but I believe the founders of this nation would roll over in their graves if they knew Americans today were basically worshiping the flag. Pledging allegiance to a flag, a symbol or image of the state. This is why I've not recited any such pledge since I got saved, and I taught my kids not to do so either. Whether this vaccine is the mark of the beast or not, abundant evidence shows that it is wholly unhealthy, that it will be used to track, control, and enslave all who take it. And therefore, whether it is the mark or not, I would submit that we have very good biblical ground to determine that it will be wholly immoral and unconscionable for any Christian to receive a vaccine of this nature. We're bought with a price. Our body belongs to God. As for me, I again say no king but King Jesus. I have no intention of taking any such vaccine. Even if it's proven to provide some immunity against some alleged virus, I will not worship the beast. And furthermore, I would personally, as I mentioned Wednesday night, I would never vote for such a wicked man as Donald Trump, who is obviously hell-bent on marketing and selling the satanic vaccine to the people of America. And I suggest that all who plan to do so, that a vote for Donald Trump is basically a vote for the mark of the beast. What's that?
Let alone Biden.
Really?
Yeah, well, let alone Biden. Right. I don't know which is worse. They would both do the same thing. If Biden gets elected, he will go ahead and just continue with Operation Warp Speed because they're all bought and paid for. They serve the same master.
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether it's Donald Trump or Joe Biden. That's my message for today. The hour is late. Night cometh when no man can work. They are developing this mark. There's no question about it. But we have much work to do before Jesus comes. And there is something, remember, better than going to heaven, right?
Amen.
And that's taking someone with you. So let's all commit ourselves to tell folks about Jesus this week. After we pray, we're going to sing hymn number 439, Work for the Night is Coming. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, I pray you give us all wisdom and insight, discernment to know how we should live in this hour, what laws we should obey, what we must disobey. Please help us, Lord, to never surrender your lordship in our lives to any earthly ruler. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. 4:39, work for the night is coming.